Good morning.
Live. Good morning.
Welcome
Good
to Pathways morning. Podcast number 136.
Episode 136.
Episode That's 150 right. is going to be in the second week of October.
That's I mapped right. That Aaron out mapped this morning. It out.
And we'll do something wonderful for that episode, I'm
Fallish.
Sure. Apparently.
It doesn't include eating, according to Aaron.
So no eating.
No Bean Boozled.
No.
Bean Boozled Nothing was that we bad. Have to eat. It yeah. was disgusting. Jen says he doesn't get to decide.
Well, hey, it was 4th of July weekend. How did everybody's weekend go?
Good.
Great. Yeah.
Good. Not bad. No complaints.
Good. Good weekend.
It didn't feel, Monday's my Sabbath day anyway, so it's not like people are like, oh, we get a long weekend. It's like, welcome to ministry. You don't.
Yeah.
But that's all right. It's just part of the deal, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys watch fireworks?
Nope.
Yep.
Yeah.
I listened to them.
It was kind of in surround sound.
Man. You know, when you don't have kids everywhere. In the house. I mean, if you've seen them once,
you go
seen
to bed
them
by 9 o'clock and you're like, there's going to be fireworks tonight.
Oh, look, that's a big one. Look how colorful it is. Ooh, ah.
I thought the Newton show was pretty good.
The Newton show was year. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over 15 it was great. Minutes. Yeah.
Close to 20.
Was it, how was it different than last year's?
I don't even remember last year's.
It's the 4th of July.
But I know, but I'm just saying.
You go watch fireworks.
You go with your kid. You go as
July.
A family. But
it's
when
so
you get
fun.
Older, it's like.
You'd rather sleep.
Well, I mean.
It's not that. It's just, I'd rather avoid the crowd.
See it from there.
Where we were sitting, we were in the same spot as last year, which there was like nobody where we were at last year. But this year was packed. And you looked off to the north or the left, you had a lightning show. You looked off to the east and you had the main fireworks. You looked off to the south and then you have everybody in the town
everybody
of Newton
who's
lighting
still
off
in
their
town
fireworks.
Lighting off their own fireworks.
There's a little bit of everything everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, a little haze in the air.
Yeah. But it was
home.
Good.
It's
Kids
good.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah. Parade.
We had
the parade
we had
in the morning.
The 4th of July
was
parade.
Awesome. Good work, Aaron. Way to go.
Well, thank you to all the people that came out.
Yeah, we had
thank you all the people that actually walked in the parade.
I know. That was awesome.
I was gonna come out, but I couldn't figure out if Newton was gonna have their parade or not.
Yeah.
I didn't want to drive the half hour up here and then
They said they were gonna make a decision by 9, and at 9 it was downpouring and lightning really bad. And I was like,
so I'm glad we had
waited,
it because
and then I was like, we better get going.
We had a bunch of candy to give out. We had a bunch
magnets.
Of magnets.
Yeah, it was
we
good.
Had 39
awesome.
People from the way show up and walk and hand out candy. And
it was awesome.
We passed out magnets with our logo and a calendar on it. And it's got
a great
a
turnout
QR code on there. So you can
our way
scan
people.
It.
So yeah, thank you if you came and walked in the parade.
Yeah.
And
we have some extra magnets. So if you're in church on Sunday and you want a calendar magnet, starts in July and goes through June. Go, I'll have
you
them
have
at the
some
desk.
Left.
I'll have them at the desk. How's that? The welcome desk.
The welcome center.
Yeah.
Very good. They'll be at the welcome center.
If you want to grab
you can
one,
find
grab
them
one.
There.
I think we passed out over 700 magnets.
I think we probably did.
It was great.
There's a little stack left.
It was great.
Yeah, it was. Light parade crowd.
It Mercy, you're probably one of those people that can't get enough calendars in your life.
Sometimes I feel like that.
Did you
know
she still uses a written calendar
I
book?
Do use a written calendar.
I'm sure she does.
I have to, if
you
I...
You use Google Calendar, you have a written calendar, now you have a refrigerator calendar.
Yep.
Or did you already have
no,
one?
No, I did not have a refrigerator calendar before. Aaron did hand me the refrigerator calendar that he designed, and I was like, oh, this turned out better than I thought.
Apparently, she thought I was going to create
great.
Some sort
Good
of
work,
disastrous, ugly calendar.
No,
and she
it
was pleasantly
great.
Surprised. I'm glad I could.
It's fantastic.
I'm glad you set your expectations so low for my creativity.
Marcy has high expectations for calendars.
I do. I actually do. A little picky about my calendar that I keep everything in, but I still have a paper calendar because I have to see it all.
Do you use Google Calendar?
Yeah, I do. But I'll, like, if I am making an appointment somewhere, I'll put it in my calendar, but then I'll transfer it to my
paper calendar.
What happens
if you don't have your book?
I find it.
Do you like
I look
do you
at it? Here's
carry,
what I
do.
I look at it at the beginning of the week and I look at what's coming and then I just kind of have it in my head.
How big is your purse? Do you
carry
a purse?
I throw it in my work bag.
So you don't
no,
have
it doesn't
purse.
Go in my
you
purse
have a bag.
Purse. Which
not
is why
purse?
I put it in my
you
Google
own a purse
calendar.
Purse?
I do.
So do you carry a purse or a bag?
It depends where I'm going.
Hmm.
Most of the time, I carry a purse, but when I come to work, I carry a bag.
So if you
and
have
that's where
your,
I generally
if
go.
You have your bag, if you don't have your, you don't take your bag everywhere, right?
No.
So what happens if something comes up where you have to put it in the calendar?
Then I put it on my Google calendar, and then I have to remember it and put it on my written calendar later.
So would you say your Google calendar is more user-friendly than the written one?
No, because because I can't see it all. Like, so I have no idea that next week, Thursday, I have something, but I can see that on my paper calendar. In fact, I bought you that calendar.
So,
Jen did buy me my calendar this year.
So you here. You want to see if there's something next week. What do you have to do?
I look at my paper calendar.
You open it up, you turn to the correct page, and you look at it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do.
So how's that different from opening the app, going to that day, and looking at it?
Because you need internet, see the whole
and you need
week.
Electricity.
You don't need electricity.
And I can see the whole
your phone needs to be powered up.
I don't want to go in. Up. Like, I have it in my head then. If I've seen it on my calendar, then I just know, like, oh, the boys have a couple appointments this week.
I don't get it.
I have this appointment next week. But otherwise, I have to go into a certain day and be like, what am I doing next week, Thursday?
I just turn to Vicky, and say, do I have anything this week? Or I turn to somebody else on staff. Do I got anything?
That's right. And that's so why. Somehow you have to know and keep
Well, when there's an appointment, I go and ask Jen, can you add this to Steve's calendar, please?
Yeah, that is true.
It's hilarious. Hey, look. I'm so the kind of person that I know a few things that I have to do that day, but for the most part, I just take every day as a new adventure.
No, I like to know
it's the way I like to live my life. I need Facebook to remind me when it's people's birthdays, but that's about it. So I don't forget.
I like to know what's coming. Maybe how we use a calendar just tells a lot about us.
Do you have a birthday calendar?
Well, I mean, they pop up on Facebook so I get an email. So my emails of Facebook go to my email. And so then I'll see it there.
But I was talking to somebody. Like, they have a calendar specifically for birthdays.
Sorry, we're Facebook living this, but I don't go on Facebook that often. No, I don't have a calendar.
I don't either. I get on just to see if I get any of my family have birthdays that day. And then I jump off. Not like my immediate family, but like, you know.
Your church family?
You know, this probably falls in the realm of TMI, but I don't wish a lot of people happy birthdays. I don't, because I'm afraid that I'll miss somebody's birthday. And then it's like, well, Steve never wished me happy birthday. And then I went in that moment to say, well, Steve never wishes me happy birthday either. And if I see them that day, I say happy birthday because I know it's their birthday. But I think the whole happy birthday Facebook thing is just kind of superficial.
Yeah, that's the way I feel about the like button. That's the way I feel about the like button. I haven't liked anything for 5 years because I'm sure I would have missed someone and they would be ticked off.
Sounds a little grumpy of you.
And I have a lot of Facebook friends. And there are some mornings where I could sit there for 30 minutes. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. And I just, you know, I'd rather.
Isn't there like an automated thing on Facebook that you can just send everybody a happy birthday?
I don't know, but that's even more superficial, like, isn't it?
It is superficial. I mean, it's come very on. Superficial. Like,
and when it's my birthday, I don't go through each individual message. I'm just like, wow, that's nice. People are wishing me happy birthday. That's wonderful. And I'll usually post thank you.
But a lot of people wish you happy birthday on the Waze Facebook post, right?
They do, yeah. And I appreciate all of that, but I admit, I don't
have a few. I mean,
I'll get like 300 happy birthdays or more. And I just don't really have time to sit there and read them all. Plus, I'm usually, you know, birthdays don't mean anything to me personally. I'm just not. So I guess, in other words, if you don't wish me happy birthday next March 28th, that's okay. I'll still love you.
And if you do wish him happy birthday, he might not say thank you.
I'll say thank you in a general term, but I don't know. I mean,
and he might not read it.
This is why you just don't like anything.
It's true.
I'm not a big fan of Facebook. Nope. I would just rather hang out with somebody. I'd rather talk with them. And I'd rather, you know, spend time with them and make it more meaningful than just a superficial post. That's it.
Auto-generate.
Yep.
I've done my bit. I don't look up birthdays on Facebook so that I can comment. I look up birthdays on Facebook so that I can actually like for people that are in my phone that I can actually call and say happy birthday. and I talk to them. It's crazy. It's a crazy world I live in.
We don't know anything about that. What does it mean? Talk to somebody?
Just from an older generation, talking to people. No, I'm just kidding.
No, all right. That's what it's all about. It's about relationships. It's about doing life together. So,
speaking of relationships, hey, let's go into the sermon from Sunday where we talked about marriage.
Yep.
We talked about parenting and we talked about workplaces.
Yeah.
And Marcy, let's start with you. You've got your digital notes there.
I do.
Does that have a digital calendar in it?
I
bet it does.
I don't think so. I bet it does. I don't know. I would have to explore a little bit more. But
you if it does,
I
option?
Haven't found it yet. So,
well, how else when you don't have to date stamp stuff? It automatically does it. So it's got an internal one.
Yeah, I don't know. And I haven't seen a date on it. I write the date on it. See right here, it says July 3. So I actually write the date on it.
I'll help you find it.
And I put down who was the speaker that day. So usually, of course, it's Pastor Steve and the scripture. So there's that. But. Yep.
Good job.
So, yeah. Yeah. So, I think that a good place to start as we look at this message is your quote from Jordan Peterson, which was the whole idea that before you save the world, clean up your own room first or something like that.
Yeah.
But it was the idea before you start saying
what everybody,
you
know, else,
what
should,
everybody
be doing.
Else should do. And so, as we look at marriage and parenting and the workplace, how we interact with people in all of those places before we start pointing fingers like, well, here's what you need to do. And, oh, this is great message for somebody else. Or, you know, it's that idea of looking at yourself first and, you know, what is it that I need to work on and how do I need to change and how do I need to bring my actions more in line with what scripture is telling
me.
And then other relationships flow from that. But if you focus on yourself and getting yourself to where you need to be, that's the place to start.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, and granted, I all too often there are experts that are so aware of what everybody else should be doing. Mm-hmm. But as you take a look at what they're doing, you're just like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. And I'm by no means, I mean, you know, being a pastor, there's that fine line between telling people what the Word of God says and telling them what they should be doing. I just never do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just, you know, to me, when you start controlling people, I mean, you've gone so far in an unhealthy place. But if people ask and you tell them, and you know, that's one thing, but for the most part, I'm just, you know, I'll tell you what the Word of God is. We'll encourage each other to pursue that to the best of our ability, you know, by the will of God and the strength of God. But, you know, for the most part, we're all this work in progress. I'm just way more interested in what God's wanting me to do than what God's wanting you to do. And so
I think the intent behind a message, whether it's, you know, a psychologist or someone on social media or whatever, what's the intent behind it? Is it out of love? Like, this is what I see happening and it breaks my heart. You know, this is what we should be doing, which is, you know, rooted in scripture. Or is it, well, I'm right, so everybody else should be doing this because I think this is the way I think and I think this is right, so therefore you need to do this. And the intent is like, it's self-centered. It's not, you know, biblically centered or, you know, out of love for someone else. And
sometimes as a leader, you get insight into people's lives as far as what God has gifted them and how that, you know, kind of plays out in their calling. And so you encourage people to pursue that. But at the same time, whether or not they do, really, you have no power over that. You just want to encourage them because you know that they have gifts that God has given them.
Potential.
And they know that ultimately they would be blessed if they did that. But if they choose not to, then it's like, well, okay, that's your choice. And, you know, time will tell, right? I mean, it just, but that's part of the responsibility of being a religious leader, a leader in a church, is that you do get spiritual insight as to what the giftings are that people have. And you see it oftentimes before they do. You know, or sometimes they have an idea, but they're just looking for the affirmation. But you're not controlling what people do. You're you're encouraging them, and you're trying to help them. And you know, it's a little bit like a personal trainer. There is an aspect of it that, you know, it stretches your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. It's probably calling you into places you don't want to go.
Yep.
But at the same time, you're ultimately here to help. And, you know, interesting thing about a psychologist, or even as a counselor, as a pastor, when you're not giving a message and interpreting the word of God, you're usually meeting with somebody who has a problem. Mm-hmm. And they're saying to you, how do I fix this problem? Mm-hmm. And that's, so then now that then is like, okay, well, here's some biblical principles that, mm-hmm. that you are not doing, and you might want to consider incorporating this into your life. And that's all part of the process. But ultimately, your goal is to never get people to act the way you want them to. You're trying to get people to act in obedience to God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Huge difference.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So let's go into, marriage and talk mm-hmm. about what the scripture says about starting in, was it verse 18? Wives, yeah. submit to your husbands as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. And when this plays out, it's so beautiful to mm-hmm. see a marriage where there's submission, there's honoring mm-hmm. of one another. And, you know, I can tell you from a personal standpoint, as my wife and I have grown in our faith and in our walk with Christ, our marriage has grown. And we've seen that play out in other people in the church as well. But it's there is a submission piece to it, and there's an honoring piece to it. I mean,
yeah. I think one of the things that you address too that I think can be a hard thing is that the word submit gets a stigma attached to it. Yeah. And, you know, in society in general, it has been abused and not lived out the way that it should be. And so that makes it hard, I think, to interpret that sometimes. But then when you look at words like honor, respect, and mm-hmm.
trust,
and those types of things, and like you said too, when you have those instructions for husbands and wives, and husbands are loving their wives, and wives submit to your husbands, that it all works together mm-hmm. in tandem, you know? And so, but we do have those stigmas that we have to get over.
But doesn't it tend to reason that this is a vital Christian concept that it would be under attack from,
yeah, absolutely.
From the world, from Satan himself?
Absolutely.
And if he could get a stigma attached to it and people think that it's somehow a sign of weakness.
Abusive or to use it
in an abusive way.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think controlling or yeah,
submission to any authority is under attack, especially in our country right now. Nobody wants to submit to authority, whether that's workplace or government or marriage. But you know, you also brought up in the marriage piece that God's never going to call you to submit to immoral, unbiblical requests, mm-hmm. and He's never going to call you to submit to abuse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's where that honoring piece comes in. That's where the faith piece comes into a Christ-centered marriage. Mm-hmm.
And before you make that rash judgment that this is unbiblical and immoral, and then you just say, well, I'm not going to do that, you need to be cautious with that. You need to pray about that, because you can't say it's immoral just because you're opposed to it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, anytime you make a decision that is a pretty significant decision that would take you out from under an umbrella of authority, you better have spent some time praying about it mm-hmm. and reading and looking up in scripture what you're mm-hmm. called to do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even, you know, it's kind of interesting. So it was July the 4th and here you've got, you know, so our country was started by technically a rebellion to authority. And but they deliberated and they talked about it and they prayed about it. And they, you know, because a lot of them are people of faith. And it wasn't just like these guys got together one day and said, you know what, let's just declare our independence.
Right.
We don't want to submit to King George. Well, it wasn't like that at all. There were conversations that went on. There were all of these things because if you read the Declaration of Independence, it's a theological document. Mm-hmm. And if you kind of read through that, and I know it's crazy because people like to quote the Constitution and the Declaration. None of them have read it. Read it. So the Declaration of Independence, they make a theological argument for why they can no longer submit to the authority of Great Britain. it's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big issue of it. But it's good stuff.
Yeah.
So don't take it lightly. Don't take rebellion lightly. It's be careful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're following the leading of God and you're not just rebelling because you, in your heart, I'm just not going to submit to that.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, so.
Once our prayer comes in and knowing scripture and then having godly influence outside of yourself, you know, and people that you can go to for advice and prayer, excuse me, to work through those things. So,
and you know, mm-hmm. I remember one of the concepts they taught us in the military is that the concept is you can never be a good leader until you go through a season of being a good follower and you understand what it, mm-hmm. So every good leader has a good leader.
Right.
That they follow.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that in essence creates the character to be a good leader.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that means you got to follow that leader through times where they tell you things you don't want to hear.
Right.
I mean, that's part of being a good follower.
Yeah.
There's times where you completely disagree, but you acknowledge the responsibility mm-hmm. of the person that's been put in authority. Mm-hmm. And you say, you know what? I totally disagree with you, but this is your responsibility. So I'm going to submit to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes too, there's things going on that you don't know that the leader knows. And so you just have to trust that they have a bigger picture and they know. And yeah.
Well, even the leading the family, right? So me as a father, I'm leading my children and we'll get into parenting here, but you know, I'm laying the groundwork for them as they grow up to know, okay, what should my priorities be? What do I see as a priority in my parents?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't let them have everything that they want. Like, mm-hmm. and but we're seeing in again, American culture again today where the parents aren't parenting. Right. They're giving their kids whatever they want. Mm-hmm. That's why we see.
Well, or they're just not involved.
Right.
They're too busy. You know, you've got parents today. This never happened in my house, but I know it happens where you have parents that, so you have a whole family sitting in a living room and they're all looking at electronic devices and none of them are talking to each other.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, that's just insane to me.
Yep.
And, you know, I made it my point as a father and as a leader, it's my responsibility to connect with everybody that I'm called to lead.
Right.
And I that's one of the reasons why I hate texts and I hate emails and I hate
and he doesn't all send
hate Facebook happy
Facebook
birthday
messages.
Well, I'd rather walk up to you and just say how you
rather
doing and have a conversation. And you know, I think that that's a part that's missing is that we need to connect with each other.
Yeah.
And we need to go out of our ways, especially our spouse and our children.
Yeah. Right. Which goes back to that idea of take care of your own room first, right? Before you go save the world, it's that looking at your relationship with your spouse and then your kids and kind of moving out from there. But how are those going? How are you connecting in all
Absolutely.
Of that? Yeah.
But as parents, we have to lead by example. We have to take a stand for what's right. When I was a kid, one day I wanted to be a puppy dog, and the next day I wanted to be a ninja, and the next day I wanted to be a cop, and
eventually became a ninja.
played out.
You know, you haven't heard of Aaron Groves' ninja skills?
But my parents, they didn't say, you want to be a puppy dog today? You can be a puppy dog. And you know what? We'll buy you a leash and a collar.
Yeah.
No. Like, but we've seen it just come to this extreme in our culture where whatever our kids want, we're going to give them. We're going to let them be. Let them do whatever they want. They're kids. They don't know what they want. They don't know what's best for them. I don't let my kids play in the street, even though they want to play in the street.
Yeah.
Because they don't know that what's best for them.
Yeah.
But again, getting back to the electronics thing, I'm cautious about my kids on electronics. They have limits on their time that they can spend on them. But I better be giving myself limits too. Mm-hmm. And it's, we sit here, and as I sit here, it's a little convicting. Like there's times where I'm scrolling through my phone in the living room and my kids are trying to talk to me and I'm giving them an answer that's probably not even, I'm not listening because I'm on this stupid device. And so I got, leadership is about leading by example. The worst thing you can do as a leader is to say, do as I say, not as I do. Mm-hmm. That's the worst thing you can say as a leader, because it's not leadership.
Mm-hmm. No.
And so, but as parents, we got to lead by example. And again, we've talked about this before. Like, I have to set the example in marriage. What does it mean to honor my wife? Because I want my daughters to see that, because I want them to have a husband that's going to honor them mm-hmm. someday. And I want my boy to be honoring to his wife and mm-hmm. vice versa with my wife and submission.
Yep.
And so we got to live it out.
And you got to be really careful about only having critical conversations. There mm-hmm. has to be encouraging, I just care about you kind of conversations.
Right. You talked about the 10 to 1 ratio. Yeah.
10 to 1 ratio.
Conversations has versus to be in there. Just encouraging and uplifting. And here's what, And the three statements too were, I love you, I'm proud of you, and I love how God made you, or something mm-hmm. like that. And so
the person just, God made you to be,
And just looking at those three statements and encouraging.
Yeah, are you able to look past the behavior and see the individual
mm-hmm.
and praise God for the individual?
Right.
Now, you know, we're all called to be the best version of ourselves, but at the same time, we are bestowed. So in my life as a follower of Christ, I'm still the person I was in essence when I wasn't a follower of Christ. It's just that everything's been redirected mm-hmm. and kind of brought under the authority of Christ. And now I want to live for his glory and pursue obedience.
Right.
But the heart of who I was is still who I am, because I believe that's bestowed upon you by mm-hmm. God. And, you know, it's a little bit like, you know, part of what helped me in my relationship with my wife is praising God for who he made her to be
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and trying to see through what, you know, circumstances around her has maybe made her to be. Like, you know, if she comes home angry one day because something happened at work, that's not in essence who she is. That's mm-hmm. just how she's reacting. Mm-hmm. And so as a leader, you have to kind of see under the hood
mm-hmm.
and it's, you know, look to the hearts of people, and you'll never get there if you don't connect with them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you don't talk to them. And actually that was a principle that, was pretty, it was amazing for me when I would go home from work. And I changed. I actually, like, for at least the first half hour, I didn't do anything else. I just talked to Vicky.
Yeah.
We sat down. How was your day? Check in.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a conversation.
And you actually listened.
And I actually listened. And I actually cared.
Right. It was,
And, you know, I mean, and then what's interesting is that, I mean, depending on what happens next, it's not uncommon for Vicky and I to, from that point on, to do our own thing in the evening,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, she'll do a Bible study, or I'll watch YouTube videos or whatever it is that we do, and we don't have to do it together, but yet we've connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a big issue.
Yeah.
And so to add to that, I think it was Brené Brown that said the fuel to connection is empathy.
Empathy.
Yep. And so, but that empathy is coming home, sitting down, and asking how her day was, mm-hmm. and then trying to see it and feel it from her perspective. And as you said on Sunday, are we to build each other up, right? Mm-hmm. And to not tear each other down. Doesn't mean you're not going to have conflict in your marriage. Every marriage has conflict, but you have to work through the conflict to get to the connection. I think especially in new marriages, there's like this belief that, I'm married just, now. Yeah. We're gonna live the perfect life, and
we're not gonna be percentage
would you say of your marital conflict is essentially the two of you trying to explain your point of view and not listening to the others?
The majority of
that's really what it is. You're like fighting for your perspective, and it really
isn't a lot of selfishness.
It isn't until you say, "All right, I want to genuinely hear what you're saying, and I want to try to understand.
Yep.
Yeah. And again, that's the empathy part.
That's the empathy part. And or you just say, you know what? We're just going to have to agree to disagree on this one or something. But
what I've noticed in my marriage,
that would not feel maybe yours.
Early on in your marriage, were you able to work through conflict very well?
You know what? I've always been able to, but I will admit, early on in our marriage, one of the key indicators to working through conflict was to just basically adopt my point of view. But I've always been about let's talk it out. And yeah. but you know, early on, I may have had a psychological agenda in my conversation to try to get people to.
Oh, it's about winning for me.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yep.
If there is a disagreement or a conflict, it's like, I'm going to win this one.
Yeah.
Even when I knew I was wrong, I would just keep pushing it.
I find, and I agree. And you know, all that is a sin because mm-hmm. we're all sinners.
Yeah.
And so it's just sin that comes into the equation. But you know, in the end, so another thing that Vicky and I found out a long time ago is if we get to that point where things are escalating, mm-hmm. pull back.
Yep.
And really bring it to God mm-hmm. and let God kind of resolve it mm-hmm. And, or at least get you to a point where, there's some things that I need to own in this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm feeling some conviction.
Humility goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. It does. So what about parenting?
Yeah.
Or unless there's more you want to talk about, marriage.
No, I think I've touched on parenting a little bit already. I don't know. Do you have anything to add?
I'm just looking over my notes, but yeah.
At one point, I looked at my daughter after you said the three things, you know, I love you, I'm proud of you, and I love how God created you to mm-hmm. be. And I looked at her and I was like, Addie, I love you. And she rolls her eyes and goes back to reading. But we tell our kids all the time that we love them. And
that's part, Steve, you know what, told you to tell me that's that,
part,
right?
That's part of a father's authority, though, is right. that you may get the eye roll from your kids.
Yeah.
But they remember it.
They do.
And they remember. Yeah. They remember your words. Your yep. words carry weight, and that's an authority bestowed upon
yep.
the man in the home by God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why even if you're an absent father, you're impacting your kid. You mm-hmm. can't not impact yep. your children.
Yep.
And so yeah. sometimes it might be years down the road, and they remember the things that you said and.
Yeah.
So you just have to, and that's the one thing about authority is that, you know, you are planting seeds
mm-hmm.
and eventually you have to believe that if it's God's will, that those seeds will grow.
Yeah.
So
here's the question that came up in our house. You said truth minus love equals rebellion. Truth plus love is transformation. And so then the question was, what's love minus truth? And I said enabling. I don't know. What would you say? Chaos? Yeah.
Chaos.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, I mean,
it's the just question do is, whatever can, you want to do.
Can true love exist without truth?
Right. Can you truly love somebody without,
you know, it's almost like, you know, what are you doing? I mean, what exactly are you, there, it has to be grounded in truth. And, mm-hmm. and yeah, I mean, there's just all, I think that we are living in a time where love is trying to exist outside of truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that people, they think for a little while that it's right because there's even some biological stuff in all that. There's mm-hmm. some chemical, biological things in the way your brain works, but it runs its course.
Mm-hmm.
It just runs its course. And then you feel people wake up one day and they're like, well, this wasn't what I thought it was.
Yeah.
And so that's part of the process as well.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
it's good. Good question. Good discussion.
It was.
Good
yeah.
job, Melbourne family.
That's right. Good work. It's good.
What so, about, let's workplace. Talk about workplace.
Yeah. Employee, employer.
The word slavery.
Yeah. So slavery is a term that was used because at the time things were being written, they didn't have employee, employer as words.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a slightly different system. It was servanthood. But yet at the same time, it wasn't like chattel slavery, like where people were considered property,
mm-hmm.
Which we eventually came to, obviously, you know, a few hundred years ago, we were in that place. But, you know, so oftentimes people that don't understand the Bible or they don't understand hermeneutics or biblical interpretation, they're like, you know, the Bible, it encourages slavery. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, it's commenting on a system that was in place at the time.
Yeah.
That's just like when it talks about multiple wives. Mm-hmm. That was a system that was in place. And it's giving you information about that system and how to interact with that. And, right. and in the midst of that, find God. And, mm-hmm. and so in this particular system, you had what was referred to as servants mm-hmm. and you had masters. And servants obviously worked for masters. So modern translation would read employees and employers.
Mm-hmm. So talk to us a little bit more about, you referenced the book When to Walk Away by Gary Thomas within this whole like relationships in the workplace. And I just think there's a lot of people right now who are dealing with some hard things in the workplace and just... I mean, we all know where we've been over the last, and people are just,
the problem
they take it and you're at your workplace for a lot of hours in a day. And so what's the difference between a difficult situation and a toxic situation? And how do you interact in all of that?
Well, and everywhere you go are difficult situations, but they're not all toxic.
Right.
And what we live in a day and age where people interpret it, everything difficult is toxic. Mm-hmm. And it's so wrong. It'd be like me saying, you know what, I want to exercise, but every time I do it, I don't, my muscles get sore.
I hurt.
So I'm just not going to do it.
Right.
Okay. So exercise is difficult, but it's not toxic. Mm-hmm. It's good for you. Mm-hmm. But it can come to a point where it's not good for you anymore. Mm-hmm. But it's the same thing in relationships and interacting with people and situations that you're in. You've got to be patient and you've got to be wise because some things in your life that are difficult are actually part of what God's going to use to strengthen you and to teach you things and to shape your character.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you have to have this mindset, but toxic things exist that actually start to work the opposite. They start to tear you down. They start to bring you down to this place that God doesn't want you to be. And, you know, another case in point is marriage. Mm-hmm. So marriages are difficult, right? But are they toxic? Well, they can be. If you're married to an abuser or somebody who is adulterous or somebody that, you know, once you is trying to like manipulate you to the point to get you to do things that are bad for you. Mm-hmm. Now you're moving into toxic territory. But all marriages to some degree are difficult at times. It's a hard thing to know except through careful consideration.
Right.
So any situation that you're in, you should automatically say, was this just a difficult time or is this toxic? And you may not know the answer to that for a little while.
Yeah. The other thing that I would just add to that is that I think it's important to have Jesus-loving people around you who you can really share with and who can really speak into that. And
who also have a clue.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I know a lot of Jesus-loving experts out there that you're just sitting there going, you just roll your eyes.
Right.
I mean, you can get lots of support to do what you want to do from certain people.
Right.
But they don't really know. They don't really know either.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of – and not that anybody knows for sure, but collectively, that's how we have to get there. But talk to people on all sides of it. Mm-hmm. I always find it fascinating, you know, when – I mean, occasionally people walk into my office and they say, I quit my job today. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, what happened? It's like, well, you know, somebody said something to me, so I quit. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Did you think about that? Did you pray about that? Right. Did you talk to anybody about that? Or did you just impulsively quit your job? And, you know, people do that. Mm-hmm. And then what's crazy too is that if you make an impulsive decision, you almost have to spin it to where it was toxic. Mm-hmm. Right? Because nobody says, well, it was difficult, but I couldn't take it anymore. Nobody ever says that.
Right.
It's just, well, I had to leave it because it was toxic. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Time will tell. Mm-hmm. Right? So, yeah, no, it's a really good book, When to Walk Away, Gary Thomas. I thought it was a really good book. And you know, I know several people that read that book and they just somewhere in the midst of it, because I would tend to err on the difficult side and mm-hmm. endure something that's toxic. Mm-hmm. That's how I'm designed. But a lot of people were like, man, I didn't realize that that situation was toxic until I really read this book. Mm-hmm. They just thought it was difficult. And yeah. so they hung in there. They hung mm-hmm. in there, and it took this toll on them emotionally and all these things. And you just got to be careful.
Yeah.
But
yep.
And that really is the case for work. And, you know, sometimes, and I'm going way to the deep end of the pool here, but if you also understand family systems theory, mm-hmm. there's times where difficult situations can actually become a part of your role within a family system, mm-hmm. which we don't have time to get into all that, but if anybody's watching and they've ever heard of family systems theory, you know, like if you go through a hard season, then you, in that hard season, you can develop a role, which is very difficult to get out of. Mm-hmm. Right. So if you go through a season where you were a horrible employee, maybe because you were going through something personal and you never talked to your employer about it, you can find yourself in a difficult situation of your own design that's going to be very difficult to get yourself out of. Mm-hmm. But not impossible, but difficult.
Yeah.
So a lot of dynamics at work. Now mm-hmm. is not the time to be impulsive. Now is the time to be thoughtful and prayerful.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the four places where you landed for having a Christian work ethic were that idea of being diligent, loyalty, including like punctuality, be and do what you're supposed to be and do. And responsibility was the third one. And the fourth one was integrity or character. So do you have a positive influence on the workplace, or do you fuel dissension? And just looking at that. So I thought those were a good four things to keep in mind. Diligence, loyalty, responsibility, integrity.
Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you think, man, everywhere I go is conflict? Well, rather than blaming the people that are everywhere you go, maybe you just stop and say, you know, maybe I'm the common denominator. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's me.
Yep.
Perhaps. I can't get along with anybody. Every single authority I've ever had in my life has been horrible. All, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. Maybe you're the consistency in all those situations. And I'm not saying that you get down on yourself, but I am saying that you say, you know what, maybe there's something in me that needs to change.
Right.
Maybe it's the way I look at things, or maybe it's the way that I act. And, mm-hmm. You know, that's how you become a positive influence mm-hmm. in the places that you go to. So.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
That's good. Got anything else, Aaron?
Nope.
That's it, huh?
Good discussion.
Announcements.
Yeah. We're skipping nothing for part two. We have nothing.
Oh.
We didn't talk about part two before we started.
We didn't.
I don't even know what
time we talked
is.
A lot about the 4th of July. Yeah. I know people are on a timeline, so.
Right.
Not me.
Some people.
We were on a timeline. We are.
Okay. So announcements?
Yes.
Announcements.
I think they're telling me to do announcements. All right. So announcements. I'm trying to think if we have anything coming up this week. We do. We have Kingdom Builders study starts tomorrow night, and it is a couples study. They're going to be going through the book of Ruth, and it is 4 weeks in July on Thursday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. in the Discipleship Center, and there's still time to join. So you can go to our website and register for that, or you can just show up on Thursday at 6 o'clock. So,
you know what else tomorrow is?
Thursday.
It is. Very good.
What am I missing? What else is tomorrow, Aaron?
You know what? I don't know if I want to say, and I want to see if you catch on or not. No, I'm just kidding. It's my anniversary. 15 years tomorrow.
Oh,
talking about marriage.
That's right.
15.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's good.
We're going to go out for dinner.
Congratulations.
Thanks. We made it to 15.
Vicky and I were married for 15 years, probably maybe before you and Trisha were dating. How long did you date before you got married?
2.5 years.
Probably. Oh, yeah. You guys were already dating.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, good for you.
777, right?
777.
That's right.
I got a koozie at home still. You want it? I got like 50 koozies. I'll bring them in and hand them out.
We'll celebrate with the podcast.
Here's an anniversary gift for you all.
Are they metal koozies? Can you put a magnet on them?
No, no, they're foam. I don't know if metal koozies existed back then.
So, tomorrow, Aaron and Trisha's anniversary and Kingdom Builders
there we go,
couple
yeah.
study on the Book of Ruth. And then Saturday, the prayer team is going to be in Baxter. And so it's Baxter Fun Days, right? I'm looking for head nods from Jen. Yes, Baxter Fun Days. Prayer team is going to be in Baxter at 3:30. And so are they meeting at the church?
Yep.
To go up there?
Well, maybe?
No, they're just meeting in Baxter. They're meeting in Baxter at 3:30.
Yes.
Correct. Got it. Okay. Yep. So,
see you there.
3:30. See you there. Very good.
Will I see you there?
No, because it's a tech weekend.
Oh, okay.
And so I have to go help with something on Saturday afternoon. So, yeah.
Very good.
It's going to be good. I'm excited.
All right.
But yeah, so people can be praying for our kids and leaders who are going to the tech weekend, which is Teens Encounter Christ. That's this weekend, and we're excited about that too. So, I think that's it for Saturday. Sunday services at 9 and 11 and...
Finishing the series.
We're finishing the series.
Will I see you here?
Steve's like, what kind of question is that?
Of course. Why wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, I just asked Marcy if I'd see
her on
Saturday.
Unless you have blindfolds on.
So Steve will be there. But do you know who won't be there for the message?
Marcy.
No, I will be there. The preschoolers and kindergartners.
Oh,
do you know why, Aaron? Because Little Sparks is starting. So this Sunday, ministry. July 10, and then the 17th, 24th, and the 31st, we're starting Little Sparks, which is for our kids who are going to be in preschool, going into kindergarten. So they will start in the worship service and they stay through worship and then get dismissed during that offering time. They can go back. Alicia and her team will be back there to meet with them and they'll have some fun activities planned. And
Gideon's already excited. Time.
Yes, he I know. There was another preschooler on Sunday who was like, "Where's all the kids' stuff?" And I was like, "Next week, buddy, next week. You're going to love it." So, yes, so we're excited for that. And thank you to Alicia and her team. Mm-hmm. And then, on Sunday also, we have Hope for Hurting Parents. And so that is in the evening. It is off-site. They usually meet the first Sunday of the month, but they are meeting this Sunday because of the 4th of July holiday. So if you are interested in joining them, please sign up on our website. It is an off-site ministry. So when you sign up on our website, then the leaders of that ministry will get back to you with the address and more information about those details. So you can go to our website and register for that. And I believe first Mondays with Mamas is the second Monday this month. So they are also usually the first Monday of the month, but that was the 4th of July. So they are meeting Monday, July 11 at 9:30 in the nursery. So you can bring your little kiddos with you and come hang out in the nursery with some other moms. And it's just a great time.
You know what else is on Sunday?
Here
at the church?
Well, there's a spa group that's meeting at the church.
No, that's not it. It's not ours, is it?
No.
Okay. Trisha keeps my schedule.
I did building needs. Yes, see? Now, so if you had a calendar that was a written calendar, you could see your whole week, you would know. You wouldn't have to be like, hey, Trisha, what am I doing?
He's asking you. He knows there's something on Sunday.
He didn't know if his spa group was meeting.
Oh, that's true.
It's on my I can pull it up right
now. Ordination Sunday. We're ordaining elders and deacons.
Yes, that's exactly right.
There you go.
Good job.
We're ordaining elders and deacons on Sunday.
Yeah. Hey, can you tell me what's on your schedule for this coming Thursday?
Actually, I can.
Next Thursday.
This Thursday I have a child who has an orthodontist appointment.
No,
and
not this Thursday. Next Thursday.
A dermatology appointment.
Next Thursday?
I haven't looked the head that far.
Oh, can you pull out your book and tell me?
No, it's in my office.
Oh, it's in your office.
I don't have to be as connected to my phone. Somebody was just talking about how they're on their phone too much.
So,
calendar.
She's in the conversation. You're out of the conversation. Looking at your phone.
So here's Marcy.
That's right.
With her kids trying to tell her something as she's looking through her schedule. It's the same effect.
I mean, look, it's right here. You get it all organized there in your head. So I'm telling you. I can tell you what I'll be doing next week Friday.
Okay.
Not this Friday, but
yes,
next week Friday.
Next week Friday.
I'll be at the pool party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
We have the Way Pool Party on July 15 from 7 to 9 at Maytag Pool. It's totally free and totally fun.
Invite a friend.
Invite a friend.
We'll probably have ice cream or something fun.
Yeah,
like
we're
that.
Hoping for ice cream. That means it's going to be hot outside. Yeah. Hot enough
Let's
to
pass
go swimming.
On the hot chocolate.
If it's cold, then we'll still have it, but we'll have hot chocolate. But we're hoping for hot weather so we can have ice cream.
Yep.
So can't pass the ice cream up. So it's going to be great.
Nope.
Ice cream and toppings. So Spirit-Led Work Ministry is meeting on July 18. So that'll be the following Monday. And check out our summer Stay Plugged In guide. If you haven't gotten a book yet, they're still available and still have all the things for July and August that are coming up. So
are you going to do a book for this fall too?
Of course we're going to do a book for this fall.
What's it going to be called? Because this was plugged in.
I don't know. It's still in the works.
It's in the works.
It is in the works.
I'll brainstorm for you a little bit.
Yeah, great.
See what I can come up with.
Your magnets did turn out well, so.
Well, no. Now you're just now you're just lying, because before it was like, well, these are.
I think Jen's like, I got it.
Better than I
Don't
expected.
Worry, Aaron. You focus your attention somewhere else.
I'll stay in my lane.
Got
How's
it.
That?
Welcome right. to my world. You know how many times I throw out a vision or an idea and this received with eye roll.
And he's like, just wait. I've thought about
this. Hold on.
You'll catch
on. So when you come up with an idea, when you're a visionary, you come up with an idea, then you got to sell it.
Yeah, you do.
Then you got to get buy-in.
We can be a hard sell sometimes.
Have you ever planted an idea, gotten the eye roll, and then 2 years later, somebody's like, oh, I've got a really great idea.
Oh,
and
all then it's like, the time. All the time.
What have you done, Aaron?
Nothing. I've done absolutely nothing.
The best thing in leadership is when you've been preaching something for years, and then somebody sees a YouTube video and then shares it with you and says, you know, you should watch this. Just like, for starters, I have barely enough time to watch the things that I want to watch, let alone the things that people give me. But the other thing is, it's like, yeah, that's great. I guess you got to hear it from somebody else.
So Steve, as he bangs his head against the wall.
Oh, it's just, you know what? It's just funny. You have to laugh. That's why you got to be humorous about it. And I know that I've done that too. I mean, I can hear something. We were talking about spouses. We're just joking around. How many times have you ever told your wife something and she looks at you and says, I told you that a week ago? Have you ever had that happen to you?
Probably more than once.
Now she might add, if you had it on your paper calendar, you would have remembered it.
There is not a book big enough in this world for me to write down everything that my wife tells me. So...
all the world. Oh, that's too funny. It's a good thing that God loves us, because you know we just are in ourselves we can at times be so unlovable.
Yes,
but
very true.
God loves us, and that helps us to love others. And and it's just an amazing plan to be a part of.
It is.
Amen.
So
great place to end, Steve. Good work.
Yeah. And if you want to experience more of God's love, come to church this Sunday at 9 or 11.
That's right. Steve will be there the whole time.
Steve will be there the whole time. You can come see him.
I will be. I'll be there. Where else would I be?
Where else would you be?
I am typically the first one in and one of the last ones to leave.
Yep.
And that's okay, because, I mean, that's just how it is. But it's always such a good feeling to walk that little walk from the church to the parking lot after a Sunday morning, and just all the things that God does.
Yep.
The blessing and the privilege of being a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Definitely.
So. I mean that. Well, we would be blessed if you would join us this weekend. So,
or invite people.
There we go.
You know, everything I hear about is that, you know, they say that people are open to going to church. They don't know it, but they're kind of waiting for the invitation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've invited people in the past and you're like, oh, well, I've just given up, just keep doing it.
Yeah.
Seek them out.
Maybe this is
invite
design.
Them in.
And give them, and don't just say, hey, I'd love to see you at church Sunday. Say, hey, can I pick you up?
Yeah.
We'd go together and then we'd go out to eat afterwards.
Yep.
Sit with my family.
Yep.
Yeah.
Be good. It's good. All right. Well, that concludes another podcast.
That's it.
Same time, same place next week.
Yep.
And I guess we'll see next Wednesday who's going to be here.
Yeah.
You never know. I guess so.
You never know.
You never know. Keep you on your toes.
That's right. With that, love you guys. We'll
thanks for tuning in.
See you soon.
God bless.